Welcome to Let's Talk America. My mind is full of many things these days, as I'm sure is true of most Americans. I happen to believe that this is the most dangerous era we have been in since just before the Civil War. And I say that because the issues that are at stake are issues that point a dagger at the heart of the continued existence of the country, just the way the issues did just before the Civil War in the 1800s. And I think a number of people, they are waking up to this more and more. I'm not sure I would say that of the population in general. They seem to think that there is, a lot of people seem to go along thinking that it's just business as usual. But I think it very definitely is not, partly because I wonder why we don't see the danger of actually having a president of the United States who, if you look at the actual events of his family and the way that they have contrived to make many millions of dollars, you might be tempted to conclude that, well, they've been bought and sold by the communist Chinese, right? Because I have seen figures that go all the way up to, what, $31 million or something that they have made through the Hunter Biden's various machinations, always shared with the big guy, as they say, in various reports and biographies. We should not be sleeping well at night on the thought that the president of the United States is now someone who doesn't necessarily serve the best interests of the American people. And I'm not saying that in my usual mode. See, I would usually say that just because he's a Democrat. How can electing people who no longer believe in the fundamental premise of the country, which is what? That we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. I believe the Republicans can still say that with a straight face. Not all of them mean it, but I think the party can still say it with a straight face, that they believe in God, that he endowed our unalienable rights, that endowment then is the source of our responsible liberty. And I'm trying to discourage people. I'm not succeeding very well. I'm trying to discourage people from just using this word freedom all the time. We need to start thinking about the fact that the founders were usually careful in their choice of words, and we ought to use their words. The words in the Declaration do not speak of freedom. They speak every now and again of being free, a free people, a free state or condition, but they don't speak of freedom. Why? Because freedom is the combination of opportunity and power. That's all it is. I have the opportunity to do something, and I have the wherewithal to do it. Therefore, I am, in the literal sense, free to do it. Even if you don't want me to do it. Depends on how large my power is then, doesn't it? Now, what people concentrate all the time on how much power they have. It's mostly the communists. See, American government isn't based on who has the most power. It's based on the endowment of God, so that every individual, whatever their power, is entitled to be respected when they are doing right according to the endowment of God's will. See, you can't go up against them just because you're more powerful and would like to have their farm, would like to have their house, would like to have their neighborhood and money and so forth. You can't do that. Our understanding of what is right is an understanding governed by God. What party absolutely rejects the notion that you can mention God in public places? It's the Democrat Party now. You know, they're sort of influenced by it. People are going after folks simply because they want to raise up their children in the way that they should go, which our Constitution, by the way, absolutely guarantees to the people, because no aspect of power was delegated to the national government that gives them control over education in this country. And it's not even, by the way, to be assumed that it's a state responsibility. The first responsibility for the education of our children is in the hands of the people who have conceived and brought into the world those children. It's the people of this country who are to be the first and primary educators. Other powers are delegated by them, usually at the county and city and town level, not to mention the national level. So I have a question. My guests today, by the way, are Michelle and Leah Swenson. I love having you all on the show because I feel free to talk about just about anything. Though y'all are farmers, you're the kind of farmers that built this country. the kind of farmers who particularly paid attention to what was going on around them and took the time to be both educated in what's happening and make that effort to think it through, not just in terms of the rationality of our human mind, but also in terms of the obligations and consequences of our founding premise, which is righteousness, righteous action that respects our obligation to do right according to the provisions of God. And it's always a joy to have you on the show because we can talk about things and you always talk about them in depth, which is to say you get to the root and remember how it translates into the concerns that we're dealing with. And when I see, for example, this move that they're trying actually to take healthcare and essentially act as if the power over healthcare is in the hands of the national government represented by the President of the United States, and that therefore the president can sit over in some confab at the World Health Organization and deal away our responsible obligations to tend to our own personal health care and that of our family. And that's going to be now in the hands of the WHO, and the US government will become an enforcement agent for a power that we have no share in electing. Do you realize that? None whatsoever. That's basically, we're going to start what I think is the intended march into the enslavement of what used to be a free people that we call the people of the United States. It deeply concerns me. And I wonder why more people aren't waking up to this. And I think it will set a precedent that will ultimately leave us with no rights whatsoever in the Constitution. Because if the powers reserved to the states, respectively, and to the people are no longer reserved to us, but can be dealt away to some foreign entity by the president or anybody else, then they're going to seek opportunities. They'll deal every one of them away. And we'll wake up under the rule of tyrants who aren't even elected by us in any way. Am I making sense?
No, you're absolutely making sense. And I'm actually really encouraged hearing what is coming out of a lot of these state legislatures, like in Arkansas with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She's getting a school choice pass. In Tennessee, they are passing laws to make sure that children are not going to be genitally mutilated and made to change their gender. So it's really exciting to see what is happening across the nation where legislators are waking up. Now, it's been slow and it's taken a while to get to that place where we are. Our legislatures are kind of a sleeping giant, and people and Republicans are getting involved at the grassroots. And they're finding, Dr. Keyes, that this Republican Party is a uniparty, and just getting involved as a precinct committee person or just getting involved in their local Republican Party, those doors are locked pretty shut. And here in Ohio, you know, we have what we're calling the Blue 22. So we had 22 Republicans vote with every single Democrat to elect the Speaker of our House after the Republicans had already voted for a MAGA America First Speaker of the House.
An overwhelming majority in the
Republicans. And we have a majority of Republicans. And so they snuck and they went behind the backs of other of our Ohio voters who voted in Republicans because they voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. They voted overwhelmingly for the Make America Great agenda. Exactly what you were talking about. But there is a tug of war happening. We're going to win this tug of war, but we have to recognize we are in a war.
And also, I would like to add,
with our own party,
as you were talking in your brilliant introduction there and going into this, what comes to mind is we're looking at what has already happened with the European Union.
Yeah.
They have given away all of their powers, and the people are so blind to it. They still think that their countries are independent, even though they're a part of the European Union. And we're looking at something very, very similar to that with what Biden has done. But frankly, Dr. Keyes, I believe since our Constitution, I believe it's an anointed document. I think that it is alive, not in the way that they think that it's alive, but I think that it spiritually has a lot of strength. And so I'm not quite convinced that they will be able to achieve the nefarious agenda that they are setting out to do. And I think that God is raising up a sleeping giant to put a stop to it. But right now it looks pretty scary.
I got a visual. It's like when you're driving and you're like that you felt somebody fell asleep and they're going head on with a semi and they woke up just in time.
I think we're going to wake up.
Quite frankly, you're absolutely right. If we didn't wake up just in time, we were going head on to that semi and boom, America was over. I think there was some swerving going on. And I do believe that there is a course correction, but it's going to take a little while to get back on track.
But it is scary.
Exactly in the position you describe. What's the old joke? What are those lights ahead? Oh, that's the train. I didn't know I was on a train track. I think a lot of Americans may still be in that posture. Mm-hmm. Believing that those are lights coming down the road, not the train coming down the railway, right?
Mm, yes.
We're in exactly the wrong position because you don't want to be smacked up. But we are now faced, I think, with an elitist cabal. That's how I think of them in my mind. And they have already already abandoned the Constitution of the United States because they don't believe in government of, by, and for the people. They think that the future must be government of, by, and for the elites. Mm-hmm. This is the mentality of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, but it's also, by and large, because we sit in an age now when we're supposed to pretend that people like AOC and these folks, that they're the extreme left wing of the Democrat Party. No, they aren't. They now represent the fundamental thinking of the Democrats, right. Has abandoned the Constitution long ago, and which no longer remembers little things like what we were talking about in the 9th and 10th Amendment. You know, the 9th Amendment taking care of the fact that we have rights that are not enumerated in the Constitution, including, by the way, the right which is to be understood not as a freedom, but as an obligation to God to do what is right according to his will.
That's so
good. You see what I'm saying? Because when you read the Declaration, that's the context in which right and liberty and so forth are mentioned. In God endowed unalienable rights.
Yes.
And people think that that word rights refers to doing the right thing just incidentally. No, it doesn't. It refers to it first and foremost.
Yes.
If you're not doing right according to God's provision, then you're not having the right to do what you do in accordance with the understanding of the Declaration. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I absolutely see it.
And that today is now vital because the 9th and 10th Amendments secure us in a position where, first of all, the national government only has the powers delegated to it. If the powers are not explicitly delegated to the national government doesn't have those powers. Where is the explicit delegation of power over what we have always regarded, I think, in the United States as a personal decision to be made by individuals in the context of their responsibilities for family life and children and so forth and so on? Health. Health doesn't belong to the government.
Exactly.
Healthcare is first and foremost a responsibility we bear as individuals, as parents, and so forth and so on. I think that's quite obvious. So is education.
Absolutely.
And yet in both these areas, they're trying to act like the national government is suddenly to be put in charge of education to such an extent that they can go negotiate a treaty with the World Health Organization, put all our responsibilities under the control of the World Health Organization, and we'll just sit here not realizing that by that act alone, they have destroyed our self-government.
Absolutely. They have brainwashed the American people to think that it takes a village to educate a child, whereas when it comes to food, you have to feed your child. When it comes to housing, you have to house your child. But when it comes to education, everybody has to educate your child. No. That is specifically designed so that, you know, as Rockefeller said, he didn't want a nation of thinkers. He wanted a nation of workers. You want people, these elites, run corporations. And as these corporations and, you know, the great manufacturing suite that came in the early 1900s, these corporations needed people who didn't think like you and I, who didn't dream, who didn't feel that they had self-worth. They needed people who would put a tire on for 8 or 10 or 12 hours
a
day.
One bolt in one
okay?
spot. Yeah.
So they didn't want to. They didn't want ideas of great orators. And so actually what you have at the turn of the century is a great dumbing down of education. You know, John Quincy Adams was a secretary to the ambassador to Russia, I believe, and he was like 12, I think he was 12 years old. He was already doing diplomatic work. You know, Harvard graduate or Harvard, the entrance exam to get into Harvard, they took it at 14 years old. And college graduates from Harvard can't even pass that entrance exam right now. And so we have the great dumbing down, the great control of our minds, so that one day we would get to the place where the world would lock down and they would tell everybody, well, you need to do A, B, C, and D, and they would follow it like mindless drones.
You make an excellent point there, because when we look at every communist takeover, whether it's Mao Zedong or, you know, even the killing fields
in Cambodia,
they always get rid of the thinkers and the philosophers. They kill them. They quite literally kill them. So we have a soft communist takeover. So they're like, listen, we don't have to kill the thinkers. We'll just stop people from thinking to start with.
That we have always been in a position where at the end of the day, the survival of our liberty depended on what we do with our freedom.
Mm.
Okay? Because liberty is actually a decision to do right according to God's will, so to follow his understanding, so that we're never at a loss for guidance.
Yes. Right.
I think that was one of the great strengths of the American people. That started at the very beginning because so many of the original United States colonies were started by people who came to North America with one thing in mind. We want to live according to the precepts of God insofar
right.
as we can conscientiously understand them.
Right.
And therefore, it was a matter of faith. It wasn't just a matter of education.
Right,
it was a matter of faith. It wasn't just a matter of general knowledge. It was a matter of the knowledge of God and
yeah.
Jesus Christ and the decision that you were going to accord your will with that. And I think that a lot of the strength of the country came from the fact that people who had made that decision then established communities in which the ground of the community was the common commitment to do right according to the endowment of God.
Yes.
So that the provisions of what is right are provisions provided by God. You see what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That word provision is always wonderful because it refers both to what you eat and drink and have to work with and so forth and so on. But provision also means the actual wording of the rule that guides your judgment mm-hmm. about what it is right to do. And we had that combination in America. I think the challenge now is that we have a lot of folks who have forgotten that is in fact the responsibility first and foremost in the hands of individual Americans who then under the authority of God see themselves as responsible for family, community, and for the provisions of life that lead people to become, I don't know, farmers and other kinds of workers and business people and so forth and so on. So it's our initiative, but it's also our responsibility.
Yeah.
How do we get Americans to realize that part of what is happening now is a result of the fact that we have let it happen?
Ooh.
We have started to act like people who aren't in charge, when in point of fact, we are the sovereign. The sovereign of the United States is not a king and not a queen and not a president. It's not the legislature in Washington or even the legislature in any of the seats of government in our states. Okay, the sovereign is the whole body, responsible body of the American people as citizens of the United States. And I think it's also, and this is where Christianity comes into it and faith comes into it, because it was grounded originally in respect for God. And now we have a party that seems wholly dedicated to making sure we abandon that understanding, so that we see it all as a matter of our own will, so that even if we remember that we are, in fact, the sovereign body of the people, we act as if we don't have standards and provisions that we have to obey. But we do. And they don't come from our own hearts and minds and wills. They come from God. You see what I'm saying? That gives, I think, Christian people a tremendous role in this task, which I'm not sure we've been acquitted.
You know, Isaiah 9 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. When Jesus died and he rose again, he was seated at the right hand of the Father. And he did something very special. He said, I am going to make you a nation of kings and priests, where you will reign, where you will rule. And he says, we wrestle not with rulers and principalities of this world, but in the unseen world. We have authority as Christians that we are not even beginning to tap into.
Amen.
You know, Jesus even told his disciples, this world right here that you think I'm setting up my government, I'm setting up my government in heaven, but we are to pray, God, your will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. He said, I looked for somebody who would bring justice. Wow. But no one was there, so my own arm brought justice. Will you guys bring justice? When the wicked are in power, the people mourn. But when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. So Christians have been sitting on the sidelines thinking that they don't want to get their hands dirty in politics. They don't want to get their hands dirty in taking the law. They just want to do the word of God. But what they've done is they've separated passages from Scripture from what it means to truly be a Christian, to spread the kingdom of God, which is liberty. Liberty and justice for all.
Exactly. I think that
is so exactly true that it's the only way I see us surviving as a free people into the future. Because that notion of freedom that everybody always has in their mouths, freedom is all in what you do with it. Because it can be used for good or evil, for right or wrong, in order to indulge yourself and make all kinds of silly mistakes. Or go forward according to a path that is compatible with the provisions of our real liberty, which are the provisions of God's endowment, right? Like the endowment of a university for a certain purpose. Humanity has been endowed by God with a certain purpose. And when we get back, let's explore that purpose a little more. We'll be right back.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you fed up with your doctor giving you drugs simply to mask your symptoms rather than treating the cause? As you age, I believe you should be brimming with energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. The Hotze Health and Wellness Center treats individuals from all over the country and world in an environment of extraordinary hospitality. We specialize in the treatment of allergies, yeast, replenishing natural hormones, vitamin and mineral supplementation, and a healthy eating lifestyle, all of which boost your immune system, increase your energy level, and your health span. If you'd like to obtain and maintain health and wellness naturally without pharmaceutical drugs, then contact one of our wellness consultants today at 281-698-8698 or visit HotzeHWC.com and request a free copy of my best-selling book, Hormones, Health, and Happiness.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Keyes. This is Let's Talk America. Today I have the wonderful joy, as you can see. I always feel happier when I'm talking to the folks I have on today, because this is exciting. They're people who are always thinking in terms of what we are called to do by God and translating that into the terms of their daily life. So Michelle and Leah Swenson are examples we ought to be keeping in mind, because I think if we don't, we forget who we are. We forget who we are, because as a people, we start out, and I say all of us, you know, because we are now as diverse a people as probably has ever existed in the history of the world. But we also set out, and that's the remarkable thing. There are always all these people who are trying to turn us against one another and do all this racial fomentation and all of these sorts of things. They forget that the most decisive choice made in the founding of the United States was to found the United States in the name of humanity rather than in the name of I'm an Englishman, right? And they say this explicitly. The whole debate about what the king was doing and what was right and what was wrong, and even the establishment of the early forms of government in the colonies, it was all done in terms of the rights of Englishmen. Okay? But by the time they get to the period of the Declaration, they are speaking about the God-endowed rights of all human beings. As we come from the hand of God, as we are conceived in the mind of God, what is it right for us to do? And that becomes the guide for personal action and for the provisions of law that are then going to govern in the community. I think that was a boon for all human beings. And what is really remarkable, they looked forward in history, they saw that a great crisis had to come because a fundamental aspect of what God requires of all human beings is that, and what does he require, by the way? That we see ourselves, not as others see us, but as God sees us. And that we treat one another according to the provisions of God. That's what they make explicit in the Declaration as the foundation of our authority to govern ourselves. And I think it's much forgotten these days, but not by y'all. This is never forgotten by the resistance chicks. It's never forgotten. And I think that that's one of the most remarkable and pleasurable things about talking to you. That I always know that you're pondering this in terms of that essential orientation toward the will of God. And when I look at it now, I have to say to myself that I think we're being misled by people in both parties, sad to say, who some of them are still paying good lip service to what we ought to be standing for. Most Republicans try to do it. They don't always succeed, but they try. And I think why they hated Donald Trump is because at the end of the day, I get the impression that Donald Trump doesn't say the right things according to this understanding I've been talking about, because he has pondered them greatly and studied them deeply and so forth and so on. He basically says them because he has the common sense to judge that they're right. And so when he says things, it's in line very much with that rightness, though he occasionally departs here and there. And I think that's quite remarkable. And I think that's why people voted for him, because they have confidence in the provisions of God for this country. They have confidence, which a lot of these leftists don't have, in the orientation the country was given at the beginning. So I have a question, though. That being true, why does the Democrat Party still get away with being a party that is, I think, pretty openly now abandoning all those premises?
That's a really good question, because we've let them. It's very simple. Over the past 100 years, Christians have decided that they were going to go to church, that they were just going to listen to a pastor or a priest, and they were going to go home, and they were going to live pretty worldly lives, and they were going to disengage. You know, a lot of people actually thought that Jesus was coming back in the 20s and 30s, and so they actually didn't put their kids into law school or medical school because they didn't even see that there was a reason for living for generations. And you know, Dr. Keyes, whether Jesus comes back tomorrow or 1,000 years from now, we need to live like we are creating a world for generations to come. And we need to have our children and ourselves, we need to all be engaged in this world. We need to all be engaged in fighting these radical agendas. And it came in really slow, didn't it? It came in slowly. You know, you're going to do a little birth control. We're going to do pornography. Then we're going to do abortion. And then 44 million children are dead. And it's because Christians were too polite. They thought that Jesus And being a Christian meant being nice, but you know, we serve a God who braided up a whip and went into that temple and said, "You've made my house a den of thieves." And so he called those religious leaders out. He called them vipers. He called them snakes. He literally said,
"You're of your father, the devil."
Exactly. And we need to take on these demonically led people with the power of God.
See, I think one of the key things that corresponds to exactly what you're saying is actually rousing what has been, to me, a very encouraging response, because people realize that, well, now these people are out to take control of our responsibility for the oncoming generations.
Yeah.
They want to substitute the indoctrination of their particular godless ideology for the education that, in fact, is the only one that can prepare people for citizenship, in which freedom doesn't mean what I want, it means what God wants.
That's right.
And I think that that's a particular challenge that's specific to the United States. We are in that sort of point in our responsibility as a people that I think was faced in 1 and 2 Chronicles at various points by various kings of Judah or the 10 tribes of Israel. Well, you had to make a choice. You had to see everything in terms of how do I stay in power and how do I beat this enemy and that enemy, and I'll make alliances with this one and that one, entirely forgetting that the only power you really need is the power of God. And if you stay close to him, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
And that's why I think at various points in this, when folks insisted that they were going to try to do things in that way which forgot God, well, God got angry. And his wrath was shown, and they would go out and get the Pope beat out of them. Yeah. And you'd have to sit there and wonder, are they going to be able to lift themselves up? And of course, 10 tribes ended up not lifting themselves up.
Yeah.
They kind of disappeared into the long night of history. And so when we refer to Israel today, we're referring to Judea, essentially.
Yeah.
To what was left in the hands of David and the Benjamites, right, and the Judeans. It's fascinating to me that America now reaches a stage where we have to stop acting as if the only thing we need to remember is how we made ourselves great. We didn't make ourselves great. We were planted in a soil enriched by respect for the endowment of God and our obligation to God. Yeah. And that is what allowed us to have an understanding that lasted through 2 centuries, that kept us going from strength to strength, because the strength was not our own. No president ever led us into a war or conflict without evoking the name and rule of God.
Yes.
And we are now in an era, unhappily, where we live with an entire party that has forgotten that that is our heritage of success.
Yeah.
And now it's left to those who are not part of that particular mindlessness, I think, to rise up and understand. And they wrote carefully, by the way, because what I'm saying, yes, I always appeal to Christians in America, right? Because I know there are far more of us than there were when the country was founded, relatively.
Amen.
Everybody forgets this. We have become a key to turning this country up, down, around when the need is. But we have to respond, not to our own will, but to the will of God. And we haven't, I believe, been doing so, even though the need to do so is clearer and the urge to do so is rising. You can feel it. Everywhere I go, I feel that urge. People are now not asking whether we have to do something. They're only asking, what do we have to do and when are we going to do it?
Yes.
And I think that that means a turning point is possible. Am I crazy? Because I think it's a combination of danger and opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything related to our relationship with God is, given the duality of our nature, you know, a little good over here, a little bad over there, tempted to do this and that, drawn by the truth, ultimately, and the light of God. But we're always halting between two opinions, right? And we have to make up our minds. What do you think are the prospects now that people of all kinds, because what I was going to say was, it has always struck me that it's interesting that the Declaration was written in its main evocation of God in such a way as to open the understanding to everybody on earth who believes there is a God, mm-hmm. right? They should be drawn by those words. Because even though Christ is mentioned, we forget that he's mentioned, though. A lot of people forget. Christ is mentioned because Christ is what? The Word through whom all things were made.
Right.
At least that's what the scripture tells us, who then is made flesh and dwells amongst us. So he was present at the creation, and he was in fact playing that very important role of being the one who in fact translates the will of God into the Word of God. That's hello? Right. And yet, it's mentioned in the Declaration, but all people have to believe in is that there's God and that God created. Yeah. And I think that still encompasses a great deal of humanity. We just forget it sometimes. So how are we going to remember it now when we have become a nation of all the nations of the earth, where I think as Christian folks, we have a special vocation to appeal to that fundamental willingness to acknowledge that there is one greater than ourselves who accounts for our success or failure. But I think we've been shrinking from the role of leadership that Christ left in our hands.
Yeah. 100%. And honestly, I wanted to amen so many times with what you were saying, because I'm starting to get fired up. We have to remember that we are dual citizens. You look at Paul, he was a dual citizen, right? He was a Roman citizen, so he could appeal to two different things. And we are dual citizens. We are citizens of heaven, and we are citizens of the United States of America. And so this is a really exciting position to be in, because we can take our authority as citizens from heaven and apply it to our citizenship of the United States. And that, I have good news for Americans. Like you just said, they're not asking if we should do anything, they're asking what we should do. And the answer I have for you, it's very, very simple. We start walking in the authority that we have. We start spreading the gospel. We start saying the things that we've been too kowtowed into. No, there are only two genders. Speak it out and apply these things to modern day governmental and societal positions. And as we do that, as we spread the gospel, as we expand the kingdom of God, we start to remember what our founding fathers knew. And as you pointed out so beautifully, there are more of us now than there were even then. We have the numbers. All we have to do is just start walking in it. It is so simple. Just remember who we are. Remember you are a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. And there is nothing that can stop us.
Yeah. And remember, when it came to the revolution, only 3% of the people believe that we're going to fight in this revolutionary war. You know, that's why, you know, there's the 3%ers. Are you the 3%? I'm the 3%. And I do believe that there's more than 3% now. Mm. I believe that when, you know, we're watching Tucker Carlson expose the January 6th tapes, there were a couple million, I don't know how many millions of people. There was just a ton of people there on January 6th. And what were they there for? They were there to make their voices heard. They were there to implore to an almighty God to change a situation that they knew was wrong, and that there was an election that was wrongfully stolen. And then the censorship happened. And I'm telling you what, this is waking people up, and more people are joining our ranks than ever before. And they're not all Christians, but they're learning from us.
In less a few days, because we all know, Tucker Carlson has been sharing tapes and videos and so forth and so on. And I've been listening to some of the responses in which they're trying to make out that what we're seeing with our eyes, don't believe your lying eyes.
Yes.
No, because what Tucker Carlson is saying is just some fabrication he's making up. No, I'm sorry, my lying eyes are seeing it going on right in front of me. Right. But they act as if that's not true. At some point, I believe, the fact that people are looking you straight in the eye as you look at what actually was going on, saying that's not going on, that's not what happened, he's making that up, you're seeing it, but he's making it up, and so forth and so on. I think they lose credibility, and suddenly a lot of Americans are going to awaken to a simple truth.
Mm. Yeah.
If they're lying to you now,
yeah,
with the evidence of your own eyes testifying to what was actually going on,
yeah,
why don't you believe that every single one of them lied through their teeth when they said that election was an honest election, when
Come
they
on.
Know they cheated us out of our victory. I think it's time we woke up, because we're looking at the truth of the Democrat Party, and I don't think this country's going to survive. I'll say it. It's the first time I've said it in public and on the air. I don't think America can survive the Democrat Party.
No.
I think we need an election in which the Democrat Party is told to go the way of the Whigs, disappear into history, until something better than the lies you're offering to this people is being offered by a party, I don't care what its name is, but it'll be better than the liars we're faced with on their side.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, one of our favorite congressmen is Thomas Massey, and I was listening to him speak one time, and he said, I would rather deal with an ideologue, somebody who truly believes in climate change or something like that, than these partisans. These partisans, they don't believe in anything. You can't reason with them. You can't join with them on anything. And I tell you what, we have dropped the ball as Christians. We're picking that ball back up because we have those same partisans. Look at Mitch McConnell. Who is he to lead the Republican Party? Okay? He's not a leader. He is one of them. He's one of the elites.
You're tempting me if you mention that, because I believe I have to feel only, you know, that God will be merciful, and regardless of how I might otherwise feel. But sometimes God is merciful, not just to individuals, but in being merciful to individuals, he can be merciful to a whole nation. Mm. And I don't want to say what might produce that result, but he can figure it out. The Lord will figure it out.
But we have to ask him. We haven't even begun to ask God to take Mitch McConnell out of that position. Okay, so I'm telling people to ask God. God, I claim that seat in Kentucky for a righteous governor who's going to really represent the people of Kentucky. Mitch McConnell does not represent
a senator.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell does not represent the people of Kentucky. Rand Paul does, but Mitch McConnell certainly does not. So these positions, we have to be able to recognize them and call them out. The same thing that with January 6th, you know, January 6th happened and all these cowards came out. Oh my gosh, because they believe the narrative. And it's just right now at this very moment that those people waking up saying, I was suckered in. I bought the lie. I bought the conspiracy theory. And a lot of these people are having to, you know, turn around and kind of, you know, walk it back. But you have to recognize that our very government set people up. There were informants, there were FBI agents, and there were agent provocateurs. They do this. You know our CIA. We already do this around the country. It's called color revolutions. They took what was already an angry crowd, and then they pushed them, and they pushed them, and they pushed them. And then normal, regular people went into the Capitol, walked around, stayed in the lines. You know, the QAnon shaman was literally
Jacob
walked
Hansley.
Around by police officers to open up doors for him. He was not allowed that video at his defense trial. This is a kangaroo court, and we have to be able to call it out. But unfortunately, it's a little late in the game. This guy's been in jail for 4 years. These guys have all been in jail for, well, he got a 4-year sentence. So here's the thing. Guys, we can turn the ship around. Mm. We have to wake up. We have to pray. And what we're saying, Dr. Keys, we have to call upon God to get some of these answers, because these people operate with dark forces.
And the good news is God has more power. Our Constitution is here and God is above it. And if they are trampling on our Constitution, it's like, fine, okay, we're just going to go straight to God with an appeal to heaven, and he trumps everything.
And with these appeals to heaven, we have to recognize, you know, I look at a picture of George Washington crossing the Delaware as I do my show. Okay. George Washington prayed. He prayed heavily, and God gave him a plan, and he executed that plan.
Exactly.
Okay, he didn't sit on his hands and say, God, you know, here I am on the ocean, I'm on a dinghy, and somebody comes by to save me, and you're like, no, God's just going to save me. No, when you pray for God to save you, he's going to give you a plan, whether it's an exit plan or an entrance plan or a battle plan, okay?
Right.
And you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to get involved.
Do you think what you're saying there in respect of the situation we're in reminds me of the situation of King Saul, who was not, as we all know, a truly perfect king of Israel.
Right.
But in one thing, he was exactly the model we need, I think, because he was able to recognize in an unpresupposing youth, right, what was required in order to start Israel on the road out of fear and into triumph according to God's
will. Absolutely, yeah.
See? And I'm wondering, I've been watching our politics for a great deal of time, and I am not sure. One of the flaws of the American people is that it takes them a long time to recognize who David is and who is not David, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Ronald Reagan had to wander through the wilderness after he had served as governor of California for quite a while. And was unexpectedly victorious when he first won, because it takes a while before the American people realize that you're in a time when you must look to God to identify the one who should lead, not to the usual rubrics that we apply.
Yes.
We are finite beings who only know how to use finite powers when we really need to be listening for that power, which is in the mouth and word and will of God, and will uphold us if we only follow it. Mm. And I think that that's what Christian people need to be yearning for right now. And I found it interesting that in your articulation there, you mentioned the word Trump. Because I think that we are in the midst now of a decision where they're trying to play on, you know, what Trump did, what Trump didn't do, and this and that and the other thing, in order to sow atmosphere in an environment of absolute confusion. Mm-hmm. We need to clarify the truth that what we're looking for is somebody who is going to lift the same standard of God that the founders lifted to start this country, because that's the only standard by which we will save it. Does that make sense? Well, God bless you both. Time always flies when I'm talking to you. It's over now, but I know that we'll be back together again before too long in his good will, God willing. So keep on keeping on, y'all, because you are doing, saying, and praying for the right things. And I think if we can just follow your example, this country could end up in the right place.